And welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. The details for this show, the whiskeys we're talking about, the links to the distillers, the spokespeople, can be found at mulliganstew.ca. It's the 15th annual Victoria Whiskey Festival. It's the 10th annual awards at the Whiskey Festival. As I learned very early on, a couple of years ago, this Whiskey Festival stands out. Everybody shows up. And actually, someone in one of their conversations over the next hour will explain why everyone shows up. We're also going to talk about whiskey as a Canadian hug and what is a suitcase special. There's lots of stuff in here. We're going to start the show with the whiskey maker, Rob Carpenter, who has a website called freethewhiskey.com. The bureaucrats who work for our government are actually trying to mess with the whiskey makers and make their lives miserable. We're going to see if we can return the favor. And he's going to tell you all about it. We're going to talk to the Glenfiddich Canadian brand ambassador, Beth Havers, and Struan Grant Ralph, the global brand ambassador for Glenfiddich. Ken Winchester from Divine Winery in Saanich, who's making wonderful spirits. And Leon Webb at Shelter Point in Courtney Comox. The man himself, David DeCurgamo, the author of Canadian Whiskey, and one of the leading voices of whiskey around the world. And Chris Thompson from 40 Creek, one of the big winners over the last year. And we finish with a phone conversation with Dr. Don Livermore, the master blender from Hiram Walker, who was the big winner on the night. He won three of the big awards. For me, every year that I go to the Victoria Whiskey Festival, I learn more and more about whiskey. I had no knowledge whatsoever, and I'm getting there. Come along. It's going to be an interesting ride. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio at the Victoria Whiskey Festival, year 15. Some people come, always ask for business cards. Rob Carpenter is the first one to sit down with two. Holyrood Distillery, Edinburgh, Scotland. Rob Carpenter, co-founder, and Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, co-founder, Canadian branch, Rob Carpenter. Are you an educator as well?
Well, I think anybody who runs tastings and so on is an educator. And so I'm just educating people about different things depending on which business card I'm carrying.
As I was doing my prep, you plunked down a bottle. Tell me about that bottle on your left.
Well, this is a bottle that we'll be pouring tonight at our grand tasting. It's Scotch Malt Whiskey Society bottling 29.257. called Out of Left Field. It's a 21-year-old, and I will tell you this, but we usually keep it a secret. This is a 21-year-old Laphroaig, so it's a beautiful bottling.
How did that work?
Well, the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society is an independent bottler that bottles single-cask whiskies from mostly Scotland, but elsewhere in the world as well.
You are hosting a masterclass.
That's right.
What's it called?
Well, it's called Hashtag Free the Whiskey. The story behind the hashtag is that almost exactly 2 years ago, when we arrived here in Victoria for the festival, at the same time, inspectors were swooping into Fett's Whiskey Kitchen and other partner bars of our brand and seizing Scotch Malt Whiskey Society bottlings. And that has been an ongoing saga with various citations and hearings, etc., and is now going to court sometime this summer.
What was the charge?
Well, the charge was that, and it's primarily focused on Fett's Whiskey Kitchen, the charge was that Fett's had purchased the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society bottlings from a private liquor store rather than purchasing from a government liquor store.
Outside the system. There's no greater crime, you know that.
Well, apparently there isn't, because up until the original hearing, Fett's was being threatened with jail time and so on. So apparently it's a very, very serious thing.
How about the timing?
Well, the timing was very interesting in that it happened right at the beginning of the Victoria Whiskey Festival. It caused us to withdraw from the festival and a couple of other brands. So it really put a chill on the whole thing.
And who is they?
Well, this is the BC licensing branch for liquor in this province. They now have cannabis included in the name, but I'm not sure what the new acronym is.
And who's their boss?
Their boss is the government of British Columbia.
Why, they work for us, don't they?
Well, of course they work for us, but they work in mysterious ways.
Are you going to pick another fight?
We're not trying to pick fights. We're trying to sort this out. And really what the issue is that the hospitality sector in British Columbia is forced to buy all its spirits, wine, beer, etc. from government liquor stores. They're not allowed to deal with the private liquor store sector. That kind of anti-competitive monopoly is fundamentally unfair.
But that's the way they drew up the rules.
It is the way they drew up the rules. But
judge and jury.
And they are the judge and jury as well, because they ran the hearing and they appointed their own judge.
So if they're not in the room while you're talking, how do we move this forward?
Well, we move it forward by trying to get awareness, which is what we're doing with the tasting tonight. And we're just going to try to keep the momentum going.
Is there a website that people can follow this on?
There's a website, freethewhiskey.com. It explains what's going on and also includes drafts of letters that you can send to your MLA or to the competition branch in Ottawa.
And are whiskey people revolutionary? Do they want to push boundaries?
I think they are. I think whiskey people, particularly people who come to this event, are looking for new things and looking to explore new flavors. And this kind of system that is in place in BC really restricts that. It's a consumer choice issue more than anything.
Here's the deal. I know the government is their boss, the government, and you know that they're whiskey drinkers. Surely to God we can change people's minds.
Well, let's hope so. Yes, I'm sure there are many whiskey drinkers in government, but
one dram at a time.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Rob Carpenter, Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. What's the website?
smws.ca.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
It's the 15th annual Victoria Whiskey Festival, 10th year of the awards. Once again, we come to a business card. Grupo Campari. Chris Thompson is the brand ambassador for 40 Creek.
I, like our founder and our master blender, was in the wine industry for quite a number of years. Ultimately, my next project brought me to 40 Creek.
Let's start with the history of 40 Creek.
Originally established in 1992, so we're really kind of the young guys on the market still.
You don't read like young guys.
We don't indeed. But established in 1992 by our founder, John Hall, who was an extremely successful winemaker.
In the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Absolutely, yep. And when John Hall, one of his little consulting projects actually brought him to Grimsby, Ontario, to help a little micro distillery that was not doing so great. And ultimately, the distillery went into receivership, and John Hall thought it was a great opportunity to finally realize his dream of being a whiskey maker, and bought the distillery. And part of the package was our master blender, Bill Ashburn, who, he hates it when I say this, but he actually came with the building. And and beginning in 1992, those two started a terrific partnership and literally turned the Canadian whiskey industry kind of on its end and ushered in a whole new era of premium whiskeys in Canada.
And the question, of course, the follow-up is, and how did they change it?
The idea was to bring a whole new level of craftsmanship and innovation first. And that's 40 Creek really kind of pushed the boundaries and did things a little bit differently. And for those guys, it was really all about, you know, careful barrel selection and the art of the blend.
So when these guys started, they were a little guy.
Yeah, we were, you know, this tiny little distillery with zero resources in Grimsby, Ontario.
And now they're one of the big guys.
Yeah, we are. We still like to think of ourselves as kind of the little guys still, you know, kind of fighting for respect. But
you can't have it both ways.
You're right indeed. But we're super happy with the success of 40 Creek. It's found a lot of fans, certainly across Canada and in many parts of the U.S. And it's doing great.
Is there room still for the little guy?
Absolutely. And what I love about a lot of the new guys now is they're kind of embracing what we started a long time ago, and it's about pushing boundaries and being innovative and changing the way that people think about Canadian whiskey. And I think that's really important. I mean, really what we're trying to do is broaden and expand the category and make it more appealing and to find a new audience.
Speaking of broadening and expanding, is there such a thing as the new girl? We're always talking about using the phrase, are you the new guy? Are you the new boy? Where are the new girls?
And that's a great question. I mean, there's a whole new bunch of new rising stars in the industry of female distillers, which I think is fantastic. It's great for the industry.
You know, they have better taste than we do.
They do. And it's well documented. I do about 20 women in whiskey specific events across North America, and talking about that very fact that women have far more evolved palates than men do. They taste things differently.
And what draws women to whiskey?
And that's a great question. I think, frankly, is the diversity of the liquid. There's an awful lot going on with every bottle of whiskey, and frankly, now more so than ever, the whiskeys have just gotten so much better in a very short amount of time. There's just more complexity. There's more going on.
When wine people sit around and talk about and geek out on wines, that's what they talk about. They'll talk about the story behind the bottle. They'll talk about what they're tasting, what they're smelling, and recommending things. Whiskey people do the same thing.
And I think that's a relatively new thing as well. It used to be just, I like the way that whiskey tasted.
Yeah.
But we didn't spend a lot of time really kind of diving into the bottle a little bit more and going behind the scenes and learning about the art and the artisanship that goes into crafting some of these spectacular whiskeys. And I love the fact that, you know, now more than ever, that's happening. I mean, when I host whiskey events, we spend an awful lot of time kind of nerding it out and geeking out and asking all the really fun questions that really nobody asked a long time ago.
His name is Chris Thompson. He's the brand ambassador for 40 Creek, a part of the Campari family. Now, that bottle right there, that's a beautiful thing. If you would read that front label for me, I'd appreciate it very much. And why is it that tall, angular shape?
This is 40 Creek Confederation Oak Reserve. It's a Canadian whiskey classic. And we wanted to put a very elegant whiskey in a very elegant bottle. This is a very tall, sexy bottle, and it certainly reflects the liquid that's going on inside.
Tasting notes on the front. You want to read those?
Maple, raisin, vanilla, fig, pralines, honeyed nuts, buttercream, spice, orange blossom, a little bit of oak, and a smoky finish.
And then the numbers down the bottom?
So every bottle that we make is individually numbered. We typically don't make an awful lot of this, usually 6,000 bottles a year, so it's in relatively limited supply. And every lot that we do carries that 1867 dash, and right now we're on lot number K.
What's the price point on this bottle?
It is $79.95.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is indeed. It's frankly, dollars for donuts, I think it is a spectacularly good value for spectacular whiskey.
Available across the country?
Available across the country and in many parts of the U.S. as well.
Tell them the name of that bottle, if they're going to order it, if they're going to, whatever.
It is 40 Creek Confederation Oak Reserve. It is actually, when it was first released 9 years ago, it was the highest awarded Canadian whiskey. Literally set the new bar for every whiskey to follow it.
I looked across the room. I saw another bottle of 40 Creek, but it had a completely, different words there.
It's 40 Creek Victory. It's our very recent limited edition.
Commemorating
the 205th anniversary of the engagement at the 40, which was a little, a fairly significant battle that happened during
skirmish.
The war. Yeah, a skirmish, exactly. A scuffle that happened in our hometown during the War of 1812.
I notice the victory, engagement at the 40, June the 8th, 1813, Canadian whiskey. Lot 13, by the way, what's the price point?
This one is $79.95.
Nice gig you got.
It's the greatest job in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Chris Thompson, brand ambassador, 40 Creek. We're going to taste. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Whether you're a wine enthusiast or just getting acquainted with Unsworth Vineyards, you are invited to join the Unsworth Wine Club. Membership gives you exclusive access to their collection of limited production wines and many benefits throughout the year. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer. The Hatching Post Microbrewery, and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like the hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio and Mulligan Stew, the podcast, music, film, food, and wine. No wine today, whiskey today. Canadian whiskey at the Victoria Whiskey Festival, year 15. I'm sitting beside Davin de Kergamo, who is the author of the revised and updated Canadian Whiskey, the new Potable Expert, second edition. It's about to be replaced with a new book, but we'll tell you about that. That's the complete. That's coming. Davin, welcome back to Victoria. You look forward to this whiskey festival once a year. What is it, besides the awards, what is it that keeps your interest and what are you looking for?
Well, my interest in whiskey is the ever-expanding flavors and how the industry is changing so much, and there's always something new. The reason I like this particular festival is that there is so much variety here, and people really seem to put an effort into making a good show. I think maybe it's because this is not really the heart of whiskey season, so you have a lot of different brands who have people available to come here, and so we get people here, you know, from Ireland and Taiwan and India and you know, bourbon makers from the States.
What is whiskey season?
Well, whiskey season is really the build up to Christmas. All the new whiskeys are released, you know, in September, October, November, and you know, there's so much enthusiasm about it, and Christmas seems to be like the turning point. And after New Year's Eve, it gets cold, and people would rather be drinking their whiskey than not talking about it.
Let's talk about whiskey and the seasons then. Do you see spikes in springtime? Do you see spikes in summer or fall?
Fall. Spikes in fall in terms of purchasing whiskey. People, in terms of drinking, I'm not really sure. I've never thought about that. I know in summertime I still drink whiskey, but I add ice and water.
Your awards are tonight, yes?
Canadian Whiskey Awards, the 10th annual Canadian Whiskey Awards, yes, tonight in Victoria.
How do those whiskeys qualify?
We have 10 judges who review the whiskies. They're sent out blind samples, so they have no concept what they're tasting. It just has a number. We send them out to our 10 judges across Canada. And these are people who generally writers, people who write about Canadian whiskey. And they send back numbers, and we put them into a spreadsheet, take the averages, and you know, the whiskeys with the best scores win the best prizes.
Is it like wine tasting in that you're asked to look at color, nose, palate?
I give directions on how to score the whiskeys. The most important thing really is that the whiskey is well balanced. So there are no sharp edges. Nothing's really just sticking out. You know, it doesn't have a greenness to it, or you know, it's whiskeys that are really well. Crafted, well put together.
What about a whiskey that attacks the roof of your mouth?
Well, Terry, I guess it would depend. But I have to say that was the first whiskey you tasted today. Yeah. And in a competition, we always say the first seat is the death seat. Wow. The first whiskey never performs as well as it would if it was in a different place in the flight. So what we do is we ask people to taste the whiskey several times in different orders so they don't do that.
What about the last whiskey?
Well, people are I think most of the judges are tasting in flights of five. The last whiskey can perform very well. And, of course, you know, you go back and forth from one to the other, so you really do get some comparisons. And I think what people do is they taste the whiskeys, and then all the whiskeys that scored, say, 85, they make a new flight of just those whiskeys, so they can then suss out the real details. And so it's a refinement process. But, yeah, it's best to be second, third, or fourth, or fifth in a flight, yes.
By the way, I noticed that there's no spit buckets here. So, and I've noticed that with a lot of whiskey tastings, there's no spit bucket. There's a sink, maybe. What about the general room downstairs when everybody's tasting? Are they spitting or tasting?
They're spitting. And we do have spittoons around the room. At the Whiskey Awards, no, people are drinking socially. But at the festival, yes, absolutely. And people are it's recommended that people do spit because you know you can get drunk pretty easily and then you don't appreciate anything. We also recommend people drink a lot of water so that they can stay hydrated.
He is, in fact, my whiskey mentor, Davin de Kergamo, Canadian whiskey author. The revised and updated edition is out there now, Canadian Whiskey, the new portable expert, with a new book coming. We'll tease you and tell you about it in just a minute. Did you have any idea that your books would have the effect that they did on the whiskey business in Canada? It kick-started a new revolution.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And a lot of people have told me that. A lot of industry people have told me that. It brought attention back to them. I had no idea. In fact, when I wrote this book, I didn't even realize I was writing a book. It was my daughter. I was putting all these notes together and all the various stories. And I was really a Scotch guy back then. I was putting together all these notes. My daughter said, you know, Dad, you're writing a book. So I put it all together into a volume, sent it off to an agent, and almost 5 days later, I had a book contract, and it sold really well. It's gone into a second printing and into a second edition as well, so I had no idea.
What drove you? What, I mean, why did you want to make these notes?
Well, I'm just... I'm one of these guys who just becomes obsessive about something and then really wants to know everything about it. Everything about it. And so I was visiting all the distilleries, and they'd never seen visitors before in Canada. You know, they didn't have any idea what to do with me, you know. I just started putting this stuff together. It's just each door you open, there's another one behind it, and it gets more and more and more interesting. And so much history, really a lot of history in Canada. And people don't realize that, you know, like this country was built on the backs of whiskey makers, because whiskey provided more taxes to pre-Confederation Canada than any other enterprise in the country. It's just, I really got excited about it. Maybe it would have been something else, but it was whiskey.
When did that first book come out?
It was first released in May 2012.
And what's happened since to the business?
Well, two things have happened that are really quite sensational. Number one, the eight major Canadian distilleries have really upped their game. They always made good whiskey. People always bought the cheap stuff and didn't realize there was good stuff out there too. But they've really put a lot of resources into making connoisseur quality whiskeys and letting people know about them. You know, so these whiskeys, brother, were whiskeys like Canadian Masterpiece, still one of the best whiskeys ever made, you know, and nobody ever talked about it. They just bought it and drank it or didn't, things like that. The Goodrum's 15-year-old, sensational, one of the best whiskeys I've ever tasted. But it's changed that they now really have grabbed the reins of connoisseur whiskeys. The other thing that's happened is that we have a revolution in micro distilling in Canada. Mm. This is really wonderful. My new book talks about over 200 distilleries, but about 70 of them are making whiskey, and they're making good whiskey. Well, not all of them are making good whiskey. Many of them are making good whiskey. It's getting better as time goes on. Actually, at the awards tonight, a couple of the micro distillers will be recognized, because their whiskey is just as good as anything.
So I asked the guys that were sitting here, is there room for the little guy still in the whiskey business?
I guess there are two different ways to answer that. First of all, is there room for them? Yes, because they are in the early stages. They are following their business plans and beginning to turn profits. There's going to be a shakeout, no question. Some of them who have really thought about what they're going to do will become quite profitable. Some of them may be acquired by the major distilleries. I think, I hope some of them have a game plan so they can eventually retire and get out of it and have somebody else take over. And is there room for them? Well, you know what? The small distilleries are interesting because it's something new and it's something different, and they're attracting so much media attention, drawing the media into Canadian spirits. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing is really raising people's awareness of how fabulous our spirits are in Canada. And this is the big distilleries as well. So people now are no longer embarrassed to be seen drinking a, you know, Canadian Club or something like this, because they realize that we've got a lot of good stuff here. And a lot of that awareness of Canadian distilling has come because of this mushrooming of stories about distilling, a lot of it driven by the small distillers. And many of them have wonderful stories. And, you know, you were talking about this earlier, Terry, about the story in the wine. The story is the most important ingredient in the whiskey. It absolutely is. And, you know, we've got like guys like Sheringham making whiskey out of red fife wheat. Red fife wheat, you know, that's a wheat that was brought over from Scotland and developed really in Ontario. And now people are making whiskey out of it and bread.
And gin out of sea kelp.
Holy crow. Yeah, that's fabulous.
And winning the world award.
Yeah, yeah. That's oh, yeah. Amazing. Have you tried their gin?
Oh, yes. Yes, I had to do research. Listen, Davin, you're doing a master class?
Yeah, I'm doing a class on Canadian Whiskey Awards winners. So this is the first time we've actually brought that out. But this is the, you know, 10th anniversary of the Canadian Whiskey Awards. And so we're going to sit down with some bottles of whiskey that have done very well this year or other years.
There's a sort of a sub-bracket there, Canadian Whiskey Award winners and how they got there. Because the story of how they got there is as important as anything else.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. Thank you. You just wrote my master class for me.
let's talk about this new book that's coming.
Oh, it's called The Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries.
Well, hold on a second. This is more distillery whiskey?
It's more than whiskey. This is a companion to my Canadian whiskey book. So it talks about gin, talks about vodka, talks about some of these interesting spirits that distillers are making. Yeah. And it talks about whiskey as well, but it talks about each of the distilleries and, you know, where they've come from, their genesis and so on. It's a beautiful, gorgeous book. When we started writing this book, there were 130 distilleries in Canada. By the time we finished, I think there were 254. Now, more than 200 have profiles, but the rest are listed in the back. So it just kept getting bigger and bigger and more complex and more complicated. It's like a good whiskey. The longer you leave it, the better it gets.
When is the book out?
31st of March, it'll be available.
I'll do my homework and I'll see you again with this microphone.
Thanks very much, Terry. Gee, it's good to see you.
Canadian Whiskey, the revised and updated, about to have a companion book to go with it, Davin DeCurcamo, is the author and the whiskey expert. I love having him in front of the microphone. Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. It's going to be an amazing 2020 at The Hatch. A new location for Crown and Thieves will open in the summer. The Hatching Post Microbrewery and Black Swift Vineyards in the spring. So what is Black Swift Vineyards? Single vineyards, small lots of Riesling, Chardonnay, Pinot, and Syrah. It's like The Hatch wearing a tuxedo. There'll be a tasting room and a patio. And it'll be the home of both Black Swift and Screaming Frenzy. All the details might be found at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio at the 15th Annual Victoria Whiskey Festival. 10 years of the awards as well. And I finally found Ken Winchester. I visited him at Divine in Saanich a couple of years ago, feels like, Ken. And basically, even though I went to talk about wine, you schooled me on ancient grains and Glen Saanich. And I made the mental note that sooner or later we would find each other and follow up on. So you have two bottles in front of me, ancient grains, Glen Saanich. You obviously are seriously into this whiskey business.
I am. Yeah, I came back from apprenticing at Bruichladdich in Scotland about 15 years ago, all fired up to do a single malt whiskey in a very traditional way, but using all local ingredients. So everything in Glen Saanich is grown, malted, mashed, distilled right here.
how much relearning did it take to realize what you had and what you could do?
Well, a ton. I started Victoria Gin back in 2007. That was the first distillery on the island. So that was a learning experience. And we started up with Divine about 4 years ago with a refurbished old German pot still. So it took a good year to learn what Brunhilde could do for us. And then, of course, we were working with different varieties of local barley, working with farmers, working with our mashing and fermenting regime. But it all came together in the end.
Ken Winchester, Master Distiller at Divine Spirits. Let's talk about the Glensanich first, and tell us about the tasting notes, sir.
Over time, as we made and aged the Glensanich, we realized we were going for a more elegant style. So if I had to characterize it, I would say more like a Speyside style, single malt. That's what Saanich gave us. It gave us a certain type of flavor profile in the barley.
Terroir.
Terroir, absolutely. Yeah, originally I trained as a winemaker, so that was always a hot button in the wine world, and I see it cropping up more and more now in the whiskey world.
And how did it show itself?
I think we had a nice profile with fruitcake, very light smoke, no peat, of course, and a very elegant finish, even at 45% alcohol. There's no burn to it at all.
Do we have any peat here at all?
We do. Canada has more peat than any country in the world. We just have never accessed it. I think it's coming.
How much Glensanich did you produce?
The first release was something like 300 bottles, and it sold out in about a week.
Small batch.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky. We, out of the blue, we got a 94 in the Whiskey Bible on our first release, and it wasn't even 3 years old at that point. We couldn't even call it whiskey. We just called it single malt, and that kind of lit the fuse for it. So the last release, we did a lottery. We're doing larger and larger releases, maybe 1,000 bottles this next year.
If it spends a year or two in bottle, do properties change?
Not in my opinion. It's really the barrel that influences it. So, of course, in Canada, it has to be 3 years in barrel to be called a whiskey. We will release some of our whiskey at 3 years, but we'll hold much of it back for 5-10 years.
And what's the payoff?
Complexity. The younger a whiskey is, the more you're tasting the terroir, the as it comes from the still. Right. Older whiskey, you get much more of the barrel influence. That's where the spice comes from, the color, etc.
And ancient grains beside it?
Well, after doing a very traditional single malt, I said, what can we do that's completely different that nobody else is doing? So we started looking at other grains that are grown here in BC, and we came upon Khorasan spelt emmer and einkorn. What's interesting about these grains is they're the original ancestors of modern grains, so they're unmodified. They don't grow as efficiently or don't yield as much as modern grains, but the flavors are pretty remarkable. And you see the craft bakers and the craft brewers playing with these grains, so that's what intrigued me. We're now growing some of these. Einkorn, for instance, was almost impossible to find. It's probably the oldest of all wheats, and we finally decided we'll grow it ourselves.
And what did it give you?
It gave us lovely, lovely, nutty complexity, almost like a hazelnut. As a total mash bill, it just gives a lot of layers to the whiskey.
And how many bottles?
We did about 1,000 bottles. And again, we're ramping up production. We aged the ancient grains in new American oak barrels as opposed to used bourbon barrels. So it's a little bit more robust. It's almost between a bourbon and a single malt is kind of the effect.
Have you poured it for bourbon fans?
Yeah, the bourbon fans love it because it's, you know, it's close to their style of whiskey. It's got that new American oak smokiness to it.
What's the price point on Ancient Grains?
Ancient Grains is 72.
And the Glensanich?
Glensanich is 83.
Ken Winchester, Master Distiller at Divine Spirits. And what's coming? Tease us with something. What else?
Well, we did a bourbon. We did a very small lot of bourbon, which is very tough to make in the equipment that we have, but it turned out beautifully. And we'll actually be pouring it Saturday night.
So if we come up the hill to Divine and we get to the tasting room, we can taste wine and spirits?
Correct.
Are there spit buckets?
There are. We give you a choice of flights. You know, we don't... We have something like 20 SKUs, so we probably wouldn't pour 20 pours for you. But
what's your website?
Divinevineyards.ca.
And the actual location of that Divine Vineyards?
We're on Old West Saanich Road, just south of Keating, so not far from Bouchard.
It's kind of cool that the Whiskey Festival is here.
It's great. You know, I love this festival. First of all, it's very well run and almost intimate, really. And second, it's local. So it's fun for someone like Divine or some of the other local distilleries to be pouring alongside the Diageos and the Hiram Walkers of the world.
And what's happened to distilling on Vancouver Island and in BC?
It's exploded.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exploded everywhere in North America. But BC is the epicenter. There's, I believe, at last count, there's something like 60 licensed distilleries in BC. I think 11 or 12 on the island. And, you know, I was number 3 in 2007. So it's just gone crazy. And it's no signs of stopping.
And the support for it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you look at the numbers, craft brewing, for instance, when it exploded, it's now about 11% of the beer market. Craft distilling is less than 1% of the distilling market here in Canada. So we have a long way to go.
Well, get on with it.
I shall. I'm going back to mash.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Say hello to Brunhilde.
I shall.
Ken Winchester, master distiller at Divine Spirits, and you can find him in Saanich.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I have these notes on Leon Webb, Shelter Point distiller, hailing from Aviemore in Scotland. Leon makes waves as Victoria Distiller's master distiller before joining Shelter Point in September of 2017. He is the driving force behind their range of whiskey expressions, including their newest peated expression called Smoke Point. Well, we have 3 bottles across from me, but in between the bottles of myself is Leon. Tell me about Aviemore and tell me about that background.
Yeah, I grew up right by the Spey River in the Highlands of Scotland.
Did you take it for granted? Was it just a river?
I did, and I was too young to fully appreciate it as well because I was before 18 and I never really got to experience the full range of Scotch distilleries in my locale.
How young were you? How old were you when you left?
I was about 18, and then I moved to Edinburgh to...
Favorite band at the time?
AC/DC still is.
Bloody hell.
You know, the Young Brothers are from Glasgow, right? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a Scottish heritage there. Plus, there's Bon Scott, the lead singer. Yeah. And he was born in Kirriemuir, which is a little village a bit further down the A9 from Aviemore. And for the last, like, 12, 13 years, there's been a festival called Bonfest. Yeah. And it's just 3 days of Bon Scott AC/DC music. It's absolutely wonderful.
When did this whiskey career take off?
Well, I think it's always been in the blood, my love for whiskey, and it took me a while to get there because I spent 10 years in finance first and I got distracted by the pursuit of the almighty dollar. However, I finally came to my senses and I realised that I want to do something that I'm passionate about and something tangible, and I realised that whiskey was the answer. So I went to Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, studied brewing and distilling, furthered my knowledge of whiskey, and now I find myself in the new world making wonderful Scotch-style whiskey in a beautiful setting at Shelter Point Farm.
How's the water?
It's absolutely gorgeous. It's very soft. It's from a glacial-fed aquifer that's right under the farm, and we have 3 wells around the farm, and it's just a limitless supply of water. I mean, I thought...
It's your palate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to do your design on.
Yeah, we're all about provenance as well. So we're trying to do as much as we can based in our local area using local ingredients. And I think the ingredients up there are special. In fact, we've got a salt company on the farm, and they did a lot of research up and down the coast there looking for the cleanest water to extract from the sea for their salt harvesting. And that's the spot they chose at Shelter Point Farm. So I think that's a good sign.
Here's what I know about the Shelter Point. They're good lads. They and you could tell that they were determined to get this off the ground and get to this point.
They are very, very special people. Like, they're in a good way. And they've got wonderful expressions like get her done and, you know, work is a gift. You know, it's that farmer philosophy. They roll their sleeves up. They're not afraid to get dirty. And our visionary owner, Patrick Evans, he is some guy. And you'll find him, like, covered in tractor grease or barley goo. You know, he just loves to get mucked in.
Here's the thing, Leon. In the wine business, you can sometimes know the character of the winemaker or the person behind the label from what you taste and what you smell. It just, wow, this is exactly like that person over there. How about Shelter Point? Does that work for them? Can you see their character in this?
Yeah, I think it's really starting to shine through now. I mean, the oldest cask in our warehouse is about 8 years old. So we're still very young relative to the Scotch distilleries that have, you know, 200 years of history behind them. So our character is just coming to the fore now. We've got a lovely, sweet, barley, sugared spirit that's got a good, strong character and very oily texture. And I think that's starting to balance really nicely with the casks now. But I think when we get to about 10, 12, 15 years old, we'll really hit that sweet spot where we have perfect harmony between the distillery character and the influence of the cask.
You're surrounded by 400 farms, easily 400 farms. Are you making friends?
Oh, yes. Everywhere we go, I always take a bottle of whiskey with me. And that certainly helps in the friend-making department. And it's good for trading as well. You know, with like local businesses, we're always like working with, say, 49 North Helicopters. Davin, who's in the room here, he's been lucky enough to be up in one of our heli tastings. So, yeah, he's had first-hand experience of the benefits of collaborating with those local businesses.
Yeah, as long as the pilot doesn't collaborate. Now, Leon Webb, Shelter Point Distiller. What did you pour for us here?
Yeah, so the first one is the Shelter Point Single Malt. So this is our benchmark all-day drinker. This is a good breakfast whiskey. It's just very approachable, nice, easy drinker, 46% alcohol. And it's natural colour, non-chill filtered as well. So we're giving you a nice, honest presentation.
How much of this do you make?
At the moment, we're pumping out maybe 100,000 litres of absolute alcohol a year.
How many bottles?
Which is...
take a number. Give me a round figure.
Yeah, in terms of bottles, we're probably making about 10, 15,000 a year at the moment. So the future whiskey potential is going to be a lot greater than our current sort of bottling.
What's the price point?
So the single malt here, we're looking at $75, including tax at the distillery. Jim Murray, he recently reviewed this and gave it 94.5 points.
Are whiskey reviewers traditionally tough?
They can be, but I think anyone that's been to Shelter Point Distillery, they tend to have a soft spot for it because it is such a stunning, beautiful location, 380 acres. It's got 2 kilometres of coastline. It's just gorgeous and wild. You know, like I wake up and there's eagles flying overhead. There's bears running through the farm. It's just one of those stunning wild spots.
It's the Rock. It's Vancouver Island. It's the home of the Royals.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go Royals, right?
Leon Webb, Shelter Point Distiller. Right then, what are the other two bottles that you brought along, he said?
So we've also got here the double barrel. This is our fourth edition of the double barrel. It's basically the single malt, but finished off in a wine cask. And we use BC wine casks. This one's Quail's Gate Pinot Noir wine. And yeah, it just adds all that extra color
there. It's color, but what does it do on taste?
It pulls off a lot of jam and fruit flavors, a bit of tannins as well.
I want to taste. Yeah. I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. Of
course. Where's your glass?
And what's that third one?
The third one is Smoke Point. So this is our a new adventure for Shelter Point. This has taken us down the peated street that I love so much. Like all my favourite childhood whiskies were peated whiskies. I grew up with a peat fire in the living room of the house. We don't currently have our own peated malt, but we thought a shortcut to get there was to age our spirit in ex-Laphroaig casks. So casks that had previously held Laphroaig whiskey. We put our spirit in there for 6 months on this occasion, and it came out beautifully. Just came out really nice. Nice balance of sweet and smoky.
You people are messing with the universe.
We're trying to, in a good way. Trying to expand the horizons of the universe and take people to places they've never been before in terms of their flavour journey.
Yeah, the cannabis people tried to say the same thing.
Yeah, but they're too lazy to get up and do anything about it.
Yeah. Now... I meant to ask the price points on those other two bottles. How about Smoke Point?
So the Smoke Point here, this one is $85, including tax, and the double barrel is $65, including tax.
Quail's Gate Pinot barrels.
Yeah, yeah, and they're stunning. Like one of my tasting notes from one of the earlier editions of our double barrel was it's like almost like jellied donuts covered with powdered sugar. It's like a wonderful, doughy, jammy, sugary sweet.
Leon Webb, Shelter Point Distiller. Are you doing some experimenting? And can I suggest something?
Yeah, go for it.
The BC Cab Franc, It's sensational. When they get it right, it is world class. It's unbelievable. I would be very interested to see what happened to the infusing if you were to use a Cab Franc barrel, just a one-off, just to see what happens.
That's a great recommendation. If that's a wine that you really appreciate, that's certainly something we'd like to try.
The land loves it. It loves the land. It's perfect for BC.
We could call it Terry Special Reserve or something like that.
Mully's Gully.
Mully's Gully, sure. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Now, have you taken any of these bottles back to Aviemore?
I did, actually. I took one of these to Auchintoshan Distillery just outside Glasgow. And
did you do it blind? I mean, these are your friends, so did you tell them what you were bringing? Or?
Well, I told them about the distillery, and I told them they've never tried it before because they don't sell this stuff in the UK yet. And they were blown away. They were, like, really, honestly blown away. They've tasted many whiskies, and they said, you know what, this is really good stuff. And for the age it is, we think there's a really promising future for what you're making at Shelter Point.
Okay, how long have you been in Canada?
3 years now.
How many hockey games have you been to?
At least 5, and 4 of those were Royals, so you'll be happy about that.
Have you watched any CFL football?
I have. It's usually snowing, though. You can't really see the ball much.
Have you gone salmon fishing?
Oh, yes. That's one of my favourite pursuits. Like, I love snowboarding and I love fly fishing. And one of the things you can do at Shelter Point Farm is fly fish for pink and coho right at the front of the beach. It's super.
Yes, you can.
And then you've got steelhead fishing right in the oyster there. So it's a good place to be if you like that kind of thing.
What's the Shelter Point website?
It's shelterpoint.ca.
Thanks, Leon.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Believe it or not, if you go to the Road 13 website, they already have listed their events for 2020. The dinners with Backyard Farm, the bubbles and crepes, cheesy weekend, crab boil, the bubbles and barbecue, the harvest barbecue, and the days that the wienery truck shows up. It's all there. Make your plans at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com. My friends, this is Tasting Room Radio. My name is Terry David Mulligan. We're in Victoria at the 15th Annual Victoria Whiskey Festival. Year 10 for the awards, by the way, if you're keeping score. From the land of three named people, I have in front of me Strone Grant Ralph, Glenfiddich's Global Brand Ambassador, and Beth Havers, Glenfiddich's Canadian Brand Ambassador. Beth, we need your middle name.
Ellen. Ellen.
Beth Ellen Havers. And Glenfiddich's is basically in the house at the Victoria Whiskey Festival. Home, where are you from?
From the north of Scotland, a little place called Forest. It's about maybe 20 miles from the Glenfiddich Distillery. This is a special day. I just learnt Beth's middle name. We've known each other. 10 years.
When did you become aware of where you were and how special it was?
Yeah, it's a good question. I grew up right in that region of Speyside, and had a lot of family and friends that worked in the great industry of single malt up there. At a very young age, we used to get taken climbing Scotland's highest mountains. One day in the winter time, having climbed one of these peaks, the hip flask got passed down to me. Someone didn't notice how much of a young man I was, and I tried whiskey for the first time. All I remember is I enjoyed the walk down the mountain more than I enjoyed the walk up the mountain. And since then, I've been very much a huge fan, supporter, and advocate of single malt whiskey from Speyside.
And now you are talking about that wonderful fluid.
Yeah, it's an honour. I think Beth and myself both feel a lot of pride. We like to represent not just, you know, Glenfiddich, but the region, obviously the family of spirits. We represent William Grant and a lot of great people that we've met along the way as well that we share stories of when we're on the road like this.
Struan Grant Ralph from Glenfiddich Global Brand Ambassador, Beth Ellen Havers, Glenfiddich Canadian Brand Ambassador on Tasting Room Radio.
Struan and I actually started on the same day at Glenfiddich 8 years ago, so we've been working together ever since. I lived in Scotland just after university, actually, and I first tasted whiskey and then got really into learning about it afterwards. Just the taste of it. It is just fascinating, and it's really quite interesting if you can go from region to region and distillery to distillery, how vastly different they can be, just made of three simple ingredients.
Then what was it that made Glenfiddich stand out from all the others?
I think people. I think for me, it's the people that you meet both making it and the family that represent Glenfiddich as well. And in terms of the liquid itself, I think it's just a perfect example of the region it represents and consistently good quality over the decades.
We are very fortunate in the fact that we are still a family-owned distillery. There's very few of us out there now. And I think that plays a big hand in the whiskey that we make. And as Struan mentioned, just the people that we work with as well. We have a great family of brand ambassadors. We all like to get together, and it's great to have the support of other brand ambassadors come out to festivals like Victoria and just be able to work together that way.
Struan Grant Ralph from Glenfiddich Global Brand Ambassador, Beth Ellen Havers, Glenfiddich Canadian Brand Ambassador on Tasting Room Radio. As you know, if you go into any, well, even the larger stores these days, and you get to the whiskey section and it goes from one corner to another, brand becomes everything, absolutely everything, and how the mind plays with it. What are they thinking about when they see that name?
Glenfiddich, we would hope that it stands for something authentic, Scottish, something of good quality. For most people, Glenfiddich is probably a whiskey that they've had a relationship for a long time. In many cases, it's the first single malt that people have tried. So I hope that it resonates really strongly on an emotive level.
If you're lucky, yeah. It's the first.
Yeah, if you've had a good run at it, it's one of the first. Hopefully it's one that you got to early. And my hope is that people have a fondness for it, as much as enjoying the liquid and a good understanding of what we represent as a family business as well.
Struan Grant Ralph from Glenfiddich Global Brand Ambassador, Beth Ellen Havers, Glenfiddich Canadian Brand Ambassador on Tasting Room Radio. How much do Canadians love this brand?
A lot. It's actually the number one selling single malt here in Canada. Our 12-year-old alone makes up about one in every five bottles of single malts purchased here in Canada. Yeah, so we're really proud of that.
You have two bottles that you've placed on the table in close proximity to my arm reach, although it's just out of reach. One I recognize as just being a sample, so to speak, and the other being handsomely packaged. What's the one on the right?
The one on the right, you've got a cask strength version of R15. So the 15 Solera is a hugely popular whiskey here in Canada, combination of three signature casks. That just happens to be one, what we would call a suitcase special. Yeah. That means that a couple of months ago, that would have been in cask at Glenfiddich, but it arrived here as a little, just something a bit special for the festival.
A tease.
Yeah, a little tease, yeah, absolutely.
And then the one on the left?
This is actually going to be coming to Canada later on this year. This is one of our newest expressions, the Glenfiddich Grand Cru. So we're hoping to release this. It's been released globally just in 2019, and it will be released in Canada in 2020, the latter part of 2020. So again, just a little special thing for you to try here today.
It's smashing packaging.
Gorgeous, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful whiskey, and I can't wait for you to try it.
Price point?
The price point here in Canada should be in and around the $500 mark, but we're just waiting on finalizing.
So basically it's an investment.
Definitely an investment, definitely a way to treat yourself.
And the sample, when do we expect to see that?
Well, this, I would expect to probably see this bottle and no others, but we have the Classic 15, of which this is just a cask strength version, so...
What do people expect on the nose, on the palate from Glenfiddich, no matter what's in the bottle?
I'd say first and foremost, lack of smoke or peat. Typically from us, we only make peated whiskey for about 1 week of the year. And then it is fruit-led, a good influence from cask, soft, quite subtle flavours depending on age. But in particular, our DNA is pear, apple, soft oak, I would say throughout.
You agree?
Definitely. It's interesting, too, depending on the age statements, the casks will definitely play a role in those subtle variations, but that pear note will always hold true throughout all Glenfiddichs.
What's coming? I know you can't tell me, you can't spill your guts about down the road 2020, 2021, but what's coming from Glenfiddich that might be surprising to us?
Yeah, so we have... continued innovation stream we've done over the last 5 years, an experimental whiskey each year, Next year will be no different. We'll be releasing number 5 in that series. For our Canadian audience, we're launching Grand Cru as we speak. Beth will be bringing that into the country this year, 2020. And then you can expect another release from that Grand range as well coming next year. So,
any sign of cannabis in whiskey? I'm sorry.
I forget where we are. That's right, yeah. That strong green smell out on the streets. No, I mean, Scotland is still a pretty traditional place when it comes to that. Yeah.
All right, just thought I'd ask. Did I ask price points on that?
For our 15-year-old, that's in around the $80 price point across the country. You'll find that on shelf at $80.
Website?
Glenfiddich.com.
Thank you both.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Struan Grant Ralph from Glenfiddich Global Brand Ambassador. Beth Ellen Havers, Glenfiddich Canadian Brand Ambassador on Tasting Room Radio.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
I promised at the top of Tasting Room Radio this special edition of the Victoria Whiskey Festival Year 15 that I would, before we were done, talk to Dr. Don Livermore, who has been on this show several times, and I thank him for mentoring me and holding my hand along the way. Dr. Don, are you with me?
I am with you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. This is the morning after the interviews that I did and the awards, etc. And I did get a note here from Heather Leary from the festival saying, Don was up on stage a number of times last night. In addition to several medals, he was up receiving several major awards. Do you want to take us through those awards?
Yeah, I'm thrilled to announce 3 major awards, certainly for us, and I'll start with this. We won the Whiskey of the Year with a Pike Creek 21-year-old Oloroso Cask finish. I was surprised. I was shocked that this one won the Canadian Whiskey of the Year, but it's a brand that I've been working on for a number of years, and it was quite the honor to receive that. And certainly, the accolades can be spread to our people at the Hiram Walker Distillery and our Corby Spirits and Wine, which is our sales and marketing division, on the success of this brand. It was phenomenal to receive that as the Whiskey of the Year. It was great news.
And how about the Blender Award?
The second year in a row now, I received the accolades of the Master Blender of the Year in the Canadian whiskey industry. And I got to say, our industry is growing rapidly as Canadian distillers, and there's a lot of talented individuals out in the Canadian whiskey field, and to be named that 2 years in a row, I feel greatly honored for that. And certainly, making whiskey is a team effort. I know there's 350 people that work at our distillery. They're very talented, and you're only as good as your weakest link. And I mean, every part of the chain comes to the fruition of the end product or the end result you see in the bottle. And our distillery, Hiram Walker and Sons, won the Distillery of the Year as well. So those are the 3 major awards: the Whiskey of the Year, the Blender of the Year, and the Distillery of the Year. And it's a great honor to represent our company, certainly, to get those at the Canadian Whiskey Awards.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining me here. When we last talked, you were talking about blending being the key to a Canadian whiskey. Would you explain that for us?
Blending whiskey, you can do lots of different things. For Canadian whiskey, all we have to do is be made of grain, fermented, aged, and distilled in Canada, aged in a wooden barrel of less than 700 liters for a minimum of 3 years and a minimum of 40% alcohol. So what that does is they don't tell us we have to use a mash bill. I can use whatever grains I want to use, like corn, wheat, rye, or barley. And they also tell us, they don't tell us how to distill. So I can use column stills and pot stills, and I can concentrate out flavors or remove flavors to make whiskey lighter and smoother. Also, we can use a wooden barrel of less than 700 liters. I mean, that makes creativity in Canadian whiskey, and that makes Canadian whiskey diverse. And I think the Canadian whiskey category matches Canada as a nation. I think we can make, yes, very diverse style of whiskeys based on the regulation we have. And I think blending can bring all those flavors together, and that's why it's so key. I mean, if I want to make a whiskey spicier, I'll add more rye. If I want to smooth it out, I'll use brand new oak barrel. So those are the things I think about at nighttime as a blender to try to create certain recipes for certain individuals. And I've gotten so far, Terry, that I do a blending 101 at our distillery where I line up 240 different whiskeys and consumers pay $100 and they can come in and make their own creation of their whiskeys. It's just about ass. It's a phenomenal. They sell out rapidly, as you can imagine. But you get the idea of how to educate our consumers and what blending really brings to the table.
Dr. Don Livermore, master blender for Hiram Walker & Sons and the big winner at the 10th annual Victoria Whiskey Festival at the Canadian Whiskey Awards. Now, one more thing about this Whiskey of the Year. Let's take that title several words at a time. Pike Creek.
Yeah. Well, Pike Creek is actually a creek that drains into the Lake St. Clair, which runs right beside our aging warehouse. And Pike Creek is a style of whiskey that's all about finishing. So we do have different variants of Pike Creek. Our mother brand is one that's aged in Caribbean rum casks. It's a 10-year-old whiskey. And the one that won the Canadian Whiskey of the Year is finished in Oloroso sherry casks. And you can pull in flavors based on what was in the cask before. Barrels act like a sponge, right? What was in the barrel beforehand is going to come out into your product. And it's just a tool in my toolbox as a blender that I can pull in different flavors. And I think using Oloroso sherry cask is very unique to the Canadian whiskey market. Other whiskeys will do it, but kind of bringing it to the Canadian market is certainly unique.
Dr. Don Livermore, master blender for Hiram Walker & Sons and the big winner at the 10th annual Victoria Whiskey Festival at the Canadian Whiskey Awards. You use the phrase finish. From a couple of years ago, I remember you saying what you're looking for is length of finish. You want a whiskey to roll in and around your tongue and teeth and palate and then hang in for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'm using finish in a dual sense here where finishing it means I've aged it in used Canadian whiskey barrels, pulled it out of a barrel, and finished it in an Oloroso sherry cask for a year. That's a terminology marketing will use as finishing. Now, when talking about tasting whiskey, I'll often describe as length of finish is how long does that warm feeling stick in your chest? And I know the more rye that I'll blend into my recipes, the longer that warm feeling stays in your chest. And we call that the Canadian hug. As we know, it's rye whiskey in Canada, right?
Tis. And rye, of course, is rye is the spice, right?
Rye is the spice. So to be honest with you, Terry, the Hiram Walker Distillery, we've made more rye whiskey this year than in a 160-year existence. It's starting to become a style of whiskey that consumers are looking for. And that's where I go back to that definition I talked about with Canadian whiskey, how diverse we can adapt. We can adapt to what the market trends are. If I go back to my parents in the 1960s, 1970s, they liked light, smooth whiskey. They're more corn-dominant style whiskeys. But today we're starting to see a trend with the millennials and Generation X and Y and Z. They're starting to try those spicier styles of whiskeys. And I think it attributes to the diversity of Canada. As a child, I was a meat and potato diet. I know my kids are growing up on sushi, and I think we're experiencing a different food trends in Canada, and we're starting to see it spill over into the whiskey category.
Dr. Don Livermore, master blender for Hiram Walker & Sons and the big winner at the 10th annual Victoria Whiskey Festival at the Canadian Whiskey Awards. Will Pike Creek be easy to find from this point on?
The Pike Creek mother brand that's aged in rum barrels, it will be, but the Pike Creek, the Canadian whiskey of the year, the 21-year in Oloroso casks, it is a limited release for this year. We've made 300 cases, and it went all across Canada. Price point typically is anywhere between $80 to $90, and it can be found at most liquor stores, but once it's gone, it's gone. Limited release. It is out in the stores. We've checked this morning. It's still out in the stores today, so you should be able to see it in most provinces. I expect it's now going to get a little bit of an uptick based on the results last night.
I want to thank you for, once again, schooling me and the audience, the wine audience that would like to know more about whiskey and the whiskey hounds that can't get enough whiskey talk. This is absolutely sensational.
Well, thank you. And I would encourage your audience, if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter, it's cdnwhiskeydoc. I show my travels and the things I'm working on and the experiments I'm doing with and the releases. And I'd also encourage the audience, if you're ever in Windsor, Ontario, you want to see a Canadian whiskey distillery and the operations, go to jpweiserstour.ca, and I hope you can come and visit us.
Thank you, Dr. Don.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Dr. Don Livermore, master blender for Hiram Walker & Sons, and the big winner at the 10th Annual Victoria Whiskey Festival at the Canadian Whiskey Awards. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the award-winning Orofino Vineyards, producing the Similkameen Valley's finest single vineyard wines, offering luxurious vineyard accommodations, voted best in the Similkameen Valley, and a wine club that makes it easy to enjoy all the best of Orofino. And the Similkameen Valley's new Row 14 restaurant at Clippers, not just raising the bar in cost and cuisine, it's defining it. It's also the home of Untangled Cidery and Clippers Guest Suites. You can find them online at row14.ca and orofinovineyards.com.